did. Hey, look at that. Yeah, I actually finished the bottle rather than, like, getting to the very bottom and, like, oh, well, let's get a different bottle.
I'm just going to go ahead and start it. We can keep talking. What's up, guys? Yeah. Welcome to Dapper Shark Podcast, episode 73. We're talking about alcohol still because we're still getting
ready. Is it tacky to get those little fairy lights and shove them into the bottle so that we have a little light thing?
Depends on the bottle.
That one.
I was actually literally just saying that I think those are one of the few bottles that actually look kind of classy, but I don't know that it would look classy if we use it as a decoration.
Can we peel the label off of it? And then just use...
I would assume you would have to. There was a time when James and I both thought it was really cool to show off how many bottles of liquor we'd accomplished.
Yeah.
We've matured since
then. It's like building those can decorations. Those beer can where you stack
them. We almost made a bottle cap tabletop.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we got quite a bit for that.
And then never did anything.
Yeah. We're just like, look at this. Oh, sadness. It's also in that same house that we were doing all this, and, well, I guess one part of it was the apartment, but we had a recycling bin that we filled with bottles of all different sorts, all shapes and sizes, mm-hmm. and we brought the recycling bin into the alley, which is where it was picked up, and it was just super, super fucking loud. And everybody in within a block radius would know that, oh, yeah, well, here comes an alcoholic.
Yep.
And we actually heard the neighbors talking about us, like, through our window. We heard them talking about us being alcoholics.
Ooh.
And it's like...
Just because we like to drink so much, jeez.
Yeah, I know, right? Fuck you. Well, you know nothing. That's what you know, bitch.
I mean, in our defense as well, they also didn't regularly have people over to hang out with them.
Oh. They were awesome.
He sounded like it.
So anyway, lots of news this week, which is great, because usually we're, or at least lately, we've been running out of things to talk about. Where should we start, guys?
I should start on why the fuck this fucking app won't do the thing.
Is it the Fleep app?
Yeah, it's the tablet version.
Oh, you want to use mine?
No.
Alright, fair enough.
Well, it's like, I open it up, and it's like, oh, hey, here's your stuff. And then it's like, hey, guess what? Launch your stuff. And so now I'm just waiting for it, like...
Oh, I know how to kick it off. I have a correction to make from last week. Remember that thing that we said that we do, where we correct ourselves, we find out we were wrong? Lawbreakers is not at all even remotely related to Epic Games, except for its Cliff Bleszinski and his new company. For some reason, I permanently associated him with Epic Games because he literally made that company. And then left it.
What a name.
To make a new one. And Lawbreakers is also apparently published through Nexon. Which really surprised me. But that means that if it does fail, there's a hope of it going free-to-play and then, you know, staying on aliveness.
Staying alive through microtransactions and cosmetic items and...
Speaking of fucking cosmetic items and fucking microtransactions, fuck Quake Live. Not Quake Live, sorry. Fuck the new Quake Champions.
Like, there it is.
Okay. Yeah. I have to say that as far as their pricing goes, currently, it's not so bad, but there is no in-game way to permanently unlock a champion.
Is this game actually, like, do you pay for it up front?
I don't know. See, here's the problem. I got it as part of a Humble Bundle.
Oh, got it.
So, if you want to look into that...
Yeah.
I don't think you do, though. If you do, then no, they shouldn't be fucking charging money at all. But, the Humble Bundle thing made it sound like they were giving me extra goodies, because they're like, oh yeah, and you're going to start with 100 platinum and 200, or 2,000 favor, and 50 shards, and I was like, oh, so they're going to give me a little bit of every currency, so I could do something of everything. That's pretty cool. Literally not enough to do anything with either of the two premium currencies, and enough to buy a loot box with a favor.
God damn it.
That fucking blows.
Fucking loot boxes.
They need to just...
Yup.
I hate everything.
As far as the gameplay goes, it's... I can see why they did Doom's multiplayer the way they did. The only thing really differentiating the two is you can carry more weapons in Quake. And there's not as verbose a movement system.
Quake Champions is on Steam in early access for $30 up front.
What? That's a $30 game. It costs $40 to get all the champions. You have to pay $30?
Yeah. Oh, wait, hold on a second. So, jeez. No, so I'm looking at it. So, again, it's called the Champions Pack. So, you have to buy it. It doesn't have, like, a free-to-play listing on Steam, so you do have to pay the $30 fee. But, this pack also includes the full roster of current and future champions, 3 loot chests, and an exclusive early access Ranger skin.
Okay. So that's reasonable, then.
So, it's actually $10 off their current, like, buy all the champions thing.
Right? Well, they don't have a buy all the champions thing in the game, so if you already have it, you're kind of fucked. What they have is you can buy, or you can spend $40 to get enough faux money to purchase all the champions.
And that would actually be purchasing individual champions. According to this, you gain access to not only the current roster,
but the future ones.
So I would highly recommend, if you're thinking about dropping $40 on all those champions, maybe just buy the champions pack.
You got me so riled up for nothing.
Sorry.
I was pissed.
I just looked at that and I'm like, oh, hey. $30, and then I look at it and I was like, Champions Pack, what's that? So I started looking deeper, and that's what I found.
Alright, well, fair enough. Again, the gameplay's not much to write home about, really. Basically, if you like Quake, you'll likely enjoy it. I did notice something kind of weird. I have my mouse sensitivity up ludicrously high, and for some reason the game dialed it back to the point where I was like, why the fuck can't I turn? So, and to put that in perspective for you, my mouse sensitivity is so high that my girlfriend regularly complains whenever she has to use my computer about it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know why they made the decision to lower the mouse sensitivity so much. Why would you do that in a Twitch shooter?
Because people don't like responsive mice. They don't like the mice to move.
What?
I don't know.
I will say, I also want to praise them for something. Their default FOV is 120.
Sweet. How, like, that? So that's like 120 degrees, right?
Yeah.
And the standard in a
That's
lot
like
of games,
real vision.
So that's like the standard in a lot of games, it seems to be like
65.
Damn, I was going to say 90.
That's no. Fucking 90 is what you can usually get up to. 110 if you're lucky, which is actually what the old Quake Pro setting used to be.
And this one defaults at 120?
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah.
That would be fucking weird.
And, you know, it didn't have any fishbowling effect, because I think they programmed the game with that in mind.
That could be freaking awesome. I kind of want to try it. I got an invite into the when it was in closed beta phase.
If you want to try a match after the show tonight, you certainly can try one.
Yeah. I don't know. It seems to be, like, a lot of the things on the Steam page were basically like, you like Doom, you like this then, right? So it almost seems like it'd be multiplayer Doom-ish.
It's pretty much, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I mean, there are some subtle differences, like all the... Again, being able to carry all of the weapons at once, which you can do in the fucking campaign... it is kind of nice, and the weapons are all different from the game. The weapons in Doom. That said, they're not exactly the same as they were in Quake Arena or Quake 3.
Now, I might be a total noob speaking here, but I've actually never played Quake, like one of the old ones.
Oh, I'm sorry. They're pretty good.
Yeah, well, I've heard that they're basically the grandfather of current FPS, you know, that sort of thing, so...
Honestly, I go back and forth over whether it was Unreal or not.
Oh. I love the fuck out of Unreal. Like, how is it compared to Unreal, then? I
mean... So, Quake is a lot more gravity-focused. Like, in Unreal, you can jump around, you can dodge and shit. Quake is not like that. It's, hey, you better get good at jumping and strafing.
GG.
And shooting accurately while flying through the air off the jump pad. Because otherwise, you're not going to do well quick.
GG.
Also, learn to lead with rockets.
GG.
And railgun.
GG.
No read?
Yeah. Why are you guys doing that?
Okay, that's it. But it's, so it sounds like it's not as, like, I guess, fast-paced?
Yeah.
Okay, because Unreal's, like,
Unreal. Well, and like I said, Unreal's a little bit more acrobatic.
Yeah, to say the least. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's pretty cool. So basically, it's it seems like it's a hero shooter.
Mm-hmm.
For $30, you can get all the heroes and stuff.
I got really annoyed because apparently one of the guy's abilities is just, I'm going to ram you now, and if I hit you, you die.
What? Like, are most of the abilities like that, where you can instigate people?
No. I was actually playing as one of the characters, BJ Blazkowicz, from the upcoming Wolfenstein game. Story about that in a second. But his ability is dual wield, and it, the description said, BJ calls for backup, and he answers himself. So he just pulls out another gun.
Okay, that's cool.
But it's not an insta-gib. Like, you could certainly fuck someone up with, like, dual super shotguns or anything like that, but
yeah.
That said, you use twice the ammo, and you still have to hit them.
True. And it's not a tackle where you're just like, oh, you're dead now.
Yeah, and not only that, this is a game where you can't really, like, wall jump to evade that or something like that. You can't... I have a problem with the game already that I know is going to really bother me if I play more, and it's that some character stats actually do differ. And that's normally fine if they have strengths and weaknesses, but it seems like some of their strengths are I have an insta-gib versus I don't have an insta-gib.
So the guy with the insta-gib has, like, less health or something like that?
No, he has more health, actually.
Wait.
That's yeah, not how it, I know!
That's not how strengths and weaknesses work. You're supposed to have a weakness to cover your strength.
I think the weakness is he can't really turn very well.
So it's kind of like just a tank, almost?
Yeah, it's like, you have to... You know how the charging targe works in TF2?
A tank that can fucking charge. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I was envisioning that. Anyway, yeah. TF2, charge.
Like the charge is in there where you can't really turn the demo man very well.
Yeah.
It's like that.
Oh. So it's almost like...
You're committed once you do it.
Like a charger in Left 4 Dead 2.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly like a charger. So anyway, speaking of BJ Blazkowicz, Wolfenstein 2 is coming out pretty soon, and Bethesda wanted to make sure that everyone knew that their stance is still, yeah, we're against Nazis. Now, I don't know if anyone's ever played Wolfenstein, but I thought that was readily apparent by the whole Wolfenstein game, you know, where you kill Nazis.
Oh. Wait, is that, like, a problem?
No. Not at all.
Well, does someone have a problem with that? Why is this even coming up?
I mean, that's what I was wondering. Like, for some reason, this was news, and I was like, what a brave stance to take? Question mark?
Well, it kind of reminds me of another story that kind of broke the... It was either this week or last week. I don't know if we talked about
it. Now, is it story in air quotes, or is it story?
Story? Well, it's about the Call of Duty World War II, where they were talking about the fact that there are no swastikas in the multiplayer mode.
That's because it's a hate symbol.
Well, yeah. So there's no swastikas
in that. Which is actually decent. Sorry, go ahead, James.
And you can also play as, like... black and female characters in multiplayer. And people were like, this isn't historically accurate.
You're not historically accurate.
Battlefield and Call of Duty and all that shit hasn't been historically accurate since for fucking ever.
Well, they do, like, they try their best to make the actual, like, the campaign pretty historically accurate.
Okay, yes, but I meant the multiplayer.
Yeah, I know, okay, so yeah, and that's actually basically their defense on that. They're like, yeah, so as far as the game go, well, the actual campaign, we treat it as a work of art. We treat it as, you know, we're trying to, you know, build a historically accurate sort of like delving into history and all that sort of thing. Which is why, you know, swastikas are included and you're not going to see any black Nazis walking around or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like... But the multiplayer completely detaches from that and just has two teams of people shooting each other with old guns. That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
And why the hell wouldn't you want to be able to customize your character to look like you or to, like, you shouldn't be... Why would you want to have a swastika on you if it wasn't to be a hate symbol in current times, you know, that sort of thing.
Right.
So
I think that's actually being more culturally sensitive than not.
Exactly. And but people were just like, you know, you had people on kind of both sides of the fence that were like, you know, oh, I suppose that's kind of a good idea, and then some people were just saying that they were bowing down to social justice warriors and shit like that. I'm like, no! It's a perfectly sound fucking logical
We have Nazis. We still have Nazis. Why would you want to give them even more power? By showing them in a historical light through the campaign, you're showing that everyone was fighting against them. You're not showing the glories of being a Nazi and hail the Nazi party, all that jazz. You're showing exactly the opposite. You're showing how history went down. So to let people be the Nazis and keep winning repeatedly, potentially. Not to mention some people would just deliberately choose Nazis because they're fucking trolls, which is stupid as shit. Or because that's the side they sympathize with.
Also, the concept of being historically accurate kind of goes out the window when if you get 10 kills without dying, you can summon a bomber or shit like that.
Yeah, well, there's also that, because that's not how the chain of command goes.
Also, the sheer number of kills you can possibly get outnumbers both armies, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Well, again...
They don't just keep coming.
They don't give any officer the ability to call in an airstrike.
What?
Call in an airstrike. Or a bunch of, like, ravenous dogs to fucking... Or just nuke them, or whatever.
Don't you know about the Army's Ravenous Dogs Battalion? And then the dogs with bees in their mouth.
you need 5 kills to unlock the ability of that channel on your radio.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of wonder if that whole story maybe kind of, like, had something to do with it. Like, the current
political climate?
The current climate of discussion was kind of just like, oh, are Nazis really bad? Or I don't know what the fuck.
Yes.
But, spoiler alert, yes.
Life hack. 2 sides opposed to each other. If one side's Nazis, they're the bad guys.
Yep.
But what if they're Nazis and... Nope, never mind.
Name literally any hate group, and the Nazis are still worse because they actually committed genocide.
Unless the Nazis are the other group.
Well, then the Nazis are still worse.
They're worse than themselves.
Some kind of weird...
We're divided by 0.
Actually, it's not just 1, if they're both 1 Nazi.
We're divided by 1.
Exactly, 1 Nazi.
Yeah.
No,
we're not counting Nazis that way.
But yeah, so I kind of wonder if that was sort of the topic of discussion, and then all of a sudden Bethesda's like, hey, look at us! Wolfenstein, we hate Nazis! Yeah, we got that.
We're starved for good PR because everyone hates our creation club. Love us,
but hey, look at us!
We hate Nazis, though, still, right?
Yeah, we hate Nazis, at least, so give us money. I mean, high five.
I mean, go team, anti-Nazis.
High five. That'll be $5.
Not team, more like no Z.
Thanks for purchasing our high five DLC. Sorry. It's not DLC. It's a mod.
But it's not a paid mod, it's a mod
that you paid money for. God fucking damn. Anyway, they just dropped that shit in Skyrim as well, and people have understandably already modded it out!
Which is fucking hilarious.
Jeez. Wait, though, I guess they are kind of releasing, you know, aren't they releasing Skyrim on, like, graphing calculators next year?
Yeah, pretty much.
Wait, what?
No, not literally.
Okay, I was like, nah.
Although they did do a mock-up of what Skyrim would look like on the Super NES, and it was really funny.
Really?
Yeah.
Next year, Skyrim's gonna be released on your bathroom monitor.
What? Your bathroom monitor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because everyone has a monitor.
Or one of those ones with the fridge.
Do you not? You're the weird one, not us.
The fridge monitor that you can, like, play Pandora. And I can see the merits of playing Pandora on your fridge. And photos,
if you're cooking,
photos, maybe, if you want a different photo on the fridge, just get your kid to draw you something. Jesus Christ.
Actually, that would be kind of cool if they actually had, like, a monitor and then, of course, like, a really tough fucking panel in front of it.
Mm-hmm. To let your kid
draw around
on. It would be like, have you seen those, they're not like boogie board, but maybe they are, but they're this LED pressure sensitive board, and I've never had one that I got her from this liquidation place, but... It's like one of those, you know those things that are like wax paper, and then they have this impression wax thing, and when you peel it up, it goes away?
Yeah.
It's like that, except when you press a button, it uses like a really like minute amount of battery. But yeah, you just have this little stylus that you draw on with it, and you press a button and it goes away.
I used to play with those, like, all the fucking time.
I had one of those too, but back then it used magnets.
Well, yes, but this one's electronic, John. It's the future.
Yeah, John.
Get.
You know, just because something is electronic doesn't mean it's better than the analog.
Yes, it does.
No.
Yes.
Except when you press the button, it's like, damn, the battery's dead.
Well, guess I'll just pull up my sheet. Oh, look. Doesn't need batteries.
Oh, that's funny.
It's still better.
Oh, I lost all my notes because my computer died. Oh, that's weird. My notebook's fine. My literal notebook, not my notebook.
Oh, no. My basement flooded, and I lost all my paper notes.
And my computer.
So water's nobody's friend is what we've gathered here.
Yes.
So don't drink water. Wait a second.
The fish are against us.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are. The fishies have no eyes.
Hey, I can make computers survive aquatic conditions.
I can learn how to run a business.
And I can make you want to buy a product.
Okay, we're done.
Anyway.
Ow.
Ow! Speaking of which, guys, next week we're going to be talking about some pretty fun stuff. Capitalism ho!
Capitalism hoes?
Yeah, capitalism hoes.
Yeah,
I was just playing that game.
Spray them with capitalism. Capitalism hoes.
No, ho. Capitalism ho. Rest of tears.
Rest of tear. Gotcha.
Ow.
Got it. Ow! So, yeah, next week's the serious cast. We're going to be talking in depth about the economy, capitalism with a discerning eye, oligopolies, and just in case you want to start looking up stuff ahead of time so you can compare your notes to ours. Antitrust laws, that's going to be fun to look into. Boy, I'm looking forward to reading all of that legal jargon.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of, antitrust laws, what about, I don't know, stopping companies from having forceful takeovers of other companies?
Well, that's actually a good transition.
Hey.
So Ubisoft decided to do just that by buying back most of their shares of their company. So Vivendi will no longer be able to hostily take over Ubisoft, which I will give a resounding meh.
Yep.
I mean,
Ubisoft is evil. They aren't good to the people that they use to make games.
Vivendi.
They're not good to their voice actors. They're not. I mean, Nintendo seems to like them, but Nintendo is like the Apple of the gaming world.
Yeah. All of our stuff is on our stuff, and our stuff only.
Yeah. But also Apple phones.
Yeah.
Which makes it a little too literal.
Remind me, what exactly does Vivendi do? What is their, any noteworthy games or whatever they do?
Well, let's take a look.
Because it's one of those things where it's like, I played plenty of Ubisoft games.
They're movies, mostly.
Oh. Well, that's interesting. But, yeah.
Games, music, telecoms, TV, and cinema.
Oh, so they're one of those conglomerates.
Yeah, they're like Sony. This is a French website. I'm not going to be able to read that.
Apparently.
What the fuck is that?
Escargot? I don't know. I was thinking of a French thing. Yeah.
You tried.
Yeah.
I mean, Ubisoft is also French, for the record. If you guys didn't know that. Not you two in the room, obviously, the listeners.
Hey, what if I didn't know that? Are you saying that that would be like a bad thing?
Yes.
If you didn't know that Ubisoft was French?
Oh, oh, oh.
My little baguette. Alright, let's do a game save none.
Oh! That does not bode well.
Talk to me.
Talk dirty to me, dude.
Alright, so they used to be behind Sierra Entertainment. And if you guys want some real fun history, go look up Sierra Entertainment on Wikipedia and read through that shit. Because, wow, talk about some dickish game developer behavior. So they're behind such fantastic games as The Simpsons Hit and Run, King's Quest, Space Quest, Gabriel Knight, SWAT.
Oh. So basically just...
They also did work with Blizzard Activision.
Oh.
Warcraft series, StarCraft series, and Diablo series. Apparently, it says here that they're succeeded by Activision Blizzard, which doesn't make sense because they're still their own company.
Wonder if they're kind of like one of those appendages,
of Activision?
Activision? Yeah. Black Division. Yeah, they, maybe they, own them, but they're, You know, it's like in Civilization, where you're just like, you know what? I'm going to annex this city or whatever. And you're just like, or create
you're a puppet state.
Create a puppet state. It's like, you do your own thing, but you're mine now, bitch. Pretty much.
Oh, yeah, they're also in charge of Universal Music Group. By the way, another dickish company there. So, fun. Gameloft is one of their subsidiaries?
Holy shit, no.
Well, that just put the fucking nail in the coffin. You know what? Ubisoft just became the good guy in the situation, which is rare.
Yeah, that's really fucking difficult to do.
Alright, well, good on you, Ubisoft, for staving off the devil.
The actual devil.
Literal Hitler over here.
Holy shit. Literally Hitler. Fucking GameSoft, man. Alright.
Wait, you said GameSoft or GameLoft?
Sorry, GameLoft. Not GameSoft. Okay. GameLoft. GameSoft. It's important that you make a differentiation between the two, because they are, in fact, very different companies.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty awesome. I guess, speaking of dickish, what about, like, a dickish goose?
That's your cue.
Dickish
goose. Honk. Game. Goose game.
Oh, that little goose game! Oh my goodness! There so there should there be a link to that in the show notes, but it's a game where you play as an asshole goose. So you play as a goose. And it's really cute. It's a little goat simmy, but...
Which is not necessarily a bad thing.
No. But it's an objective-based game where you are going around trying to check things off of a list to cause terror to this poor little gardener. Yeah. And you can honk. Like, there's a honk button, and there's local multiplayer, and when you honk at the same time, it's a little terrifying.
I think that garden level is just one of the levels.
Oh god, yeah.
So, that's gonna be pretty cool.
That'd be pretty awesome if you actually, like, go into the farmer's house, and just, like, steal remote, hide remote somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. Hide in the oven.
Yes. In the freezer.
Honk. Honk. And it seems like the stealth mode, I guess, for, like the hiding system is pretty cool, because you can just walk into a bush. You just walk right in, and the gardener can't see you. You know, like normal geese.
Yeah.
He also can turn on faucets, apparently.
But, you know, like normal geese.
Yeah, I've seen them do
that. Although, to be fair, I've actually seen some pretty fucking clever animals.
Geese, though?
Not geese, though. No.
Yeah,
geese are usually just assholes.
You wanna know why? Yeah, because geese are assholes. Somebody's sitting there with his pet goose stroking it, like, don't listen, Goosey.
It's okay, Goosey.
And the goose is like, hack, and bites him in the face.
And then he's like, I love you, Goosey, ow.
Hack. It's like that video of that dog that I showed you recently, where the guy's petting his dog. He's like, you know, one of the most therapeutic things you can do is pet your dog. And he starts to pet it, the dog's just like, argh! It's like biting his hand off. And he's like, you know, pets are just so ow, ow. They're just so healthy to have in your life, ow.
It's okay. John the other day, Proton John, for those of you playing the home game, was petting his cat, his one-eyed cat, Bagel, the other day. And he's like, you know, Bagel, I really love you. And then the cat audibly farts. And John just starts laughing, and that's the end of the stream, because he had to stop for a while.
I don't think I've ever heard a cat fart.
That's because they ghost.
That's rude. Cats are assholes, too.
Cats do you think and ghosts, their assholes do you think are assholes.
Gooses, geese fart. You think birds?
It's probably why they quack. They're like...
These questions and more on the next part of Dapper Shark 73.
I love using the word toots instead of farts, because it's just like, hide their toots.
Yeah. Alright guys, we'll be back after the break.
Oh, it's break time. Shit. We also, like, vamped for a while before, though.
Yeah, about 5 minutes.
And by vamp, I mean we talk about bullshit and we put away cider.
For about 5 minutes.
Well, yeah, except this is your cue to stand up. And I'm going to talk through you standing up and going and turning off things.
Yeah, so you can't cut it out.
You know that if you stop talking, there's a good... Ah! Never gonna get old.
Yep. Never mind, it did get old. Fuck you, stop saying it.
If we keep doing that joke eventually, we're gonna get to a point where people aren't gonna be like, what the fuck are they talking about?
I'm sure people are already there.
I'm sure you're right. Yeah.
So wasn't that like Dapper Shark Classic?
Yeah. Yeah, that was fucking like 2011, I think.
Shit.
Yeah! Dapper Shark Classic, also known as Good Talk Productions. Hey guys, we're back! What's up, guys? Welcome back!
Wow, that was some intro, just going it with gusto.
Yeah, we did it!
Well, I guess it does kind of help that we have kind of sort of a somber topic to cover real quick.
Yeah, so we do want to note that Hawken is finally shutting down not necessarily for good, but for the foreseeable future on PC. The console versions will still be up and running. They do seem to have some sort of plans for Hakim in the future, but the PC revival seems to have failed. So, I'm really sad to see it go. Emily had a family member that actually worked on the game who has since died, so
it meant kind of sad.
A little more to us, probably, than most people, but I mean, I was playing that game before I even met Emily and her extended family, so.
Was that developed, like, in Washington, or where was that?
No, oh. he lived in Hawaii and then in California, so.
Yep. Yeah. At any rate, that's the somber news there, and now Emily's gonna get mad.
Mother fucking chuckle ape fish fucking multiplayer on the Switch, not the PC, fucking Starbound all over again! Ugh! If you can afford the $450 Nintendo Dev Kit, you can afford the, even if you're working at $20 an hour, the probably less than 4 days it's gonna take you to put in multiplayer. It's not gonna take you that long. The revenue alone, you could get 40 people in there to come and sit down and do your fucking... Shut the fuck up. You can get people to just sit down and throw it in there. There are people who have been trying to mod it for your goddamn game. Why'd you give it... Why did you do this to me? Why did you... What?
They already did. There's already Stardew multiplayer mods out there that work. But the main company can't seem to...
Did I hear fucking... What do you call the fucking Bethesda fucking mod thing?
It's not paid mod. It's a...
No, I know. But because they can't provide... For their players.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I know. Believe me, I know. It's kind of like how there was better features in Starbound because of the modding community.
Promise fucking great features and deprive the fan base of only at their own expense. They got it on the Switch and not the PC!
I wouldn't be upset about this if it weren't for one fact. They literally sold the fucking game as a multiplayer game.
No.
Chucklefish.
No.
That was one of the major selling points.
You make
points.
Me want to return my Switch.
No.
No, so not actually.
Is the Switch version going to have multiplayer?
Probably not. Oh. I swear to God, if they make a Switch have multiplayer, I'm going to personally like just Twitter bum Concerned Ape.
The only way that I would allow that is if they said, okay, and also it's coming out for PC now.
There you go! It's coming out for every... apparently the Nintendo Dev Kit is only $450, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Do you want to make a Nintendo game suddenly?
God, no!
I do, kind of. But that's for later discussions.
You got a spare $450 laying around?
No. So guys, basically, I'm going to throw caution to the wind if you're ever dealing with the company Chucklefish. They make some eventually okay games... But they never deliver when they say they're going to. And I mean, have, to date, not released the complete game with all the features they promise.
Like, isn't that pretty much Starbound? Like,
yes.
Yeah, it's still not done, technically.
Are they even developing on it at all?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, they're still patching it.
Fuck you, Chucklefish. Fuck you.
But they don't... When was the last time they actually, like... released anything substantial for it.
Check their blog. They release all these mini releases.
I'll take a look.
Frequently.
Keep vamping, because I'll take a look.
Oh, I can vamp already about motherfucking Concerned Ape buying this. He made such a solid little game. He seriously did.
It wasn't Concerned Ape who made it, was it?
That was the... Yes.
Yeah, Concerned
Ape. It was actually his name. The dev, I thought Concerned Ape was, like...
Concerned Ape was the dev. Chucklefish was the producer.
Well, I know that... Okay, the reason I was confused is because Concerned Ape has worked on multiple projects for Chucklefish.
Yeah.
I thought he was just one of their figureheads.
No, this is his baby,
point.
I think.
Oh.
Regardless, he sucks. Whether it's Concerned Ape or not, he fucking sucks.
I don't even
want to say that.
Fault.
It's just, it bothers me that, I don't know, this is something he has had plenty of time to do. And at a certain point, I don't buy the whole, like, I don't want to release it until it's perfect. It's like, you have had a chance to make it perfect, buddy. And I want some explanation and an apology and a cookie.
The last patch for Starbound was July 18th, 2017.
Okay, well, what did it add?
That's a good question. Reading the rest of the entry. Reduced cost of player station parts, shows system information on hovering over stars, stuff that should have been in the fucking system to begin with. Properly beam away a player's mech when a player beams off the world. That's nice. Deploying to asteroid fields puts you in a position related to where in the field your ship is, allowing any number of script panes with no source entity. Oh, okay, so it's a bunch of, like, quality of life features that they just added. And the one before that was the Spacefarer update, which adds a lot of features like being able to take mechs into space and actually being able to fly your ship somewhat.
Yeah, so Eric Barone, a.k.a. Concerned Ape, is the sole designer and programmer for Stardevalley.
Oh, okay, well then I can blame him entirely. Hey, fuck you.
That's the thing, he made such a solid game, and it's probably not entirely his fault. I hope, I really want to believe in good things and good people. Just do your goddamn job!
How the fuck does this game have 10 out of 10 on fucking Steam?
Because it's a good game, except for the lack of multiplayer. If it had multiplayer, it would still be up there for me. The problem is that I've played the living shit out of it, and John and I would do so well if we had a game together. John and I put, like, John's Terraria, like, that, I think you have probably the most playtime on that game, on your Steam library, right?
Of any game, yeah.
Yeah. By and far. For me, it's up there. And the only reason it's not is because I leave some games running all night. But, regardless, that's all I wanted. Like, yes, it's a $10
game. We just wanted
game.
To play together. That's literally the only reason we got this game. There are other games if we want a Harvest Moon-like experience, but better. We can go to Rune Factory for that.
Which I did.
Which we both did. We both went back to Rune Factory because we weren't satisfied with Stardew. We couldn't play together!
I'm playing through it again.
Yeah, I know.
The bosses at the beginning, like, there's like a vertical learning curve for those, or I guess a strength curve.
Yeah.
Right at the very beginning.
What was the next topic?
Oh, I thought we were gonna... No, we were talking about video games things.
Fucking Chucklefish. Right?
Fucking...
Chucklefish? More like Chuckleheads, am I
more
right?
More like Fuckle Them.
Alright, well done.
That's okay, I think we can end that on that note.
So, you want to go first, or you want me to go first?
Eeny, meeny, miny, James!
Alright, well, it's settled.
So, one game I have been playing recently, actually started this past weekend, was a free trial of Final Fantasy XIV, A Realm Reborn, the whole fucking massive online multiplayer thingamajigger. And I kind of actually just sort of wanted to give my two cents on it. Granted, I have a 14-day trial, so... I might talk about it on not next podcast because it's a serious cast, but I might give like a final, like, this is kind of what I thought of it. I might get into it mostly because I have a Steam friend who seems like they might be willing to pay my subscription fee. But anyway, and I'm mostly kind of looking at it from the perspective of someone who played Final Fantasy XI a lot and kind of comparing the two. And honestly, there are some things about 14 that I preferred over 11 quite a bit, actually, and there are some things that are just kind of like, yeah, I almost prefer 11 or just another game.
Are you happy the shell system is different?
The shell system?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do you mean?
Did they have, like, communication shells and shit like that in Final Fantasy 11?
Oh, like Link Shell?
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah. That's what I thought you were talking about. I haven't gotten much into the social aspect of 14 on, to be perfectly honest, so I'm not sure what exactly their system is, but I kind of thought the Link Shell system was okay-ish.
I mean, like how you disqualify that with an ish.
It's an ish. Well, because, I mean, like, you get... There isn't really, like, a... I don't know, there isn't, like, an open forum or a way to contact, like, a lot of people unless you go to a highly populated area and shout. Or unless you're involved in a very popular Link Shell that does a lot of stuff, and it's like...
Basically chat rooms, guys.
Yeah, that's pretty much...
Yeah, like, you know how there's Baron's chat in WoW? It's that. But everywhere.
Yeah. But it's just like, and it did kind of suck just because your actual Link Pearl, in order to talk on the Link Shell, costs you an inventory slot.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, if you had, like, a raiding Link Shell, and you had, like, just a regular Link Shell, or a Link Shell with different functions, then you've got, like, different slots that you have to hold up with this fucking...
That's what I was referring to.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. More on that when I get to the social aspect. One thing I am really pleased with, and I'm enjoying, is the combat. The combat is... way faster and way more just
active.
Yeah, It's very active. Like, Final Fantasy XI, for anyone who played it, you basically, like, engage enemy, watch you hit the enemy for, like, 5 minutes, and then you're just like, okay, I have enough TP for a fucking attack. Attack. 5 more minutes go by. Okay, I can attack now.
Sadly, that's almost not exaggerating.
Yeah, that, especially early on. They make it a little bit easier, like, later on with, like, abilities and stuff like that that increase the amount of TP you can get per attack, and they made it a little bit better endgame, but still, fundamentally, it was, like, it was a very slow game. Later, like, if you're raiding and stuff like that, things can get, like, a little more hectic, but that's just because you're juggling multiple enemies, and things are, yeah. It doesn't get, like, intense until late game, but this game basically just, like, starts you off. Basically, your TP meters are full, and you just start doing, like, your attacks. Like, I hardly even pay attention to my base attacks anymore. I'm always just, like, using my weapon skills, and now I'm using, like, my job skills and doing all this other stuff that's, you know, basically using mana. So it's a lot faster, and I definitely do like that. And you can actually, one thing I actually do like was a feature that I noted when I was playing because I wanted to mention it, was the fact that it tells you when, like, a countdown for your experience chain. Like, because anyone who's played Final Fantasy XI, mm-hmm. is like, if you're fighting an enemy and you take down a second enemy quickly after defeating the first one, you get boosted experience, and it says experience chain 1, and so on and so forth. But there's no real, like, countdown letting you know, like, I need to kill this thing now or I'm going to lose my chain, you know, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. This thing actually had, like, a countdown for your experience chain expires in, that sort of thing. I thought that was awesome.
I like the experience chaining. Yeah. Just in general. Not really something that other games do.
Yeah. And it's like, it's one of those things where it's like, if you just take down, like, enemies in rapid succession, you go in and you start, like, if you're smart about it, and you fight a group and start doing, like, area of effect attacks to get everyone's health down low, and then you just, like, boom, boom, one after another, you can get boosted experience, and that's, like, a tactical way to get more experience. But I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
One thing that I thought was, like, I don't know, I was kind of almost overwhelmed by it, is words. Lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of words. Like, they don't show you a world and let you explore it. They show you a world and explain the entire fucking world and just, like, keep talking and talking and talking and talking and talking and talking and talking. And you accept a quest, and more, like, talking and talking and talking and talking, lots and lots of fucking talking, and lots of words and names and shit, that it's like, it's basically kind of like, reminds me of reading, like, a high fantasy novel, where they're just like, grandiose names, and all this other shit, and the second
thing... all the names start with the same letter, and they're all really long, and everything, okay, there is no word less than 4 syllables. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, no, you got it. Yep.
Long-time listeners of The Fan,
I listen to it every night, it helps me go to sleep.
Long-time listeners of our show will realize the joke that James set himself up for. Oh no, James doesn't like to read.
Leave the boy alone, Jonathan.
No, I know, but I actually have heard that it's a little bit egregious.
Yeah. And it's also one of those things where it's like, they don't... Like, sometimes they will either explain in a side quest, but you missed it because you were skipping through the 10 pages of dialogue, because you're like, okay, you want me to kill 5 swamp rats, I get it, fucking shut up.
Hate to say it, though, that is still technically the player's fault, if they literally tell you.
Why not? And it's just like, and then later on they're like, expect you to know this thing by heart, like they don't, like, I don't know, it just seems like, oh, we embedded this one term, like, on the 7th page of the, like... the 3rd paragraph of this thing, that you it's like, fucking read this terms and conditions, and then, like, oh, why didn't you read fucking Article 8, Section 3, that sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, it seems like Square, as a company, has that problem. Not even gonna get started on the microtransactions in Tomb Raider, but that's another problem entirely.
Yeah.
So, but Square, like, makes these games, and then expects you to care about their lore.
But it's like...
Final Fantasy XIII's lore is some of the weakest shit I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Final Fantasy XV's lore, from what I heard, is there.
Yeah.
Final Fantasy in general, or?
No. Like, each individual Final Fantasy has different lores.
Oh, okay. I was like, but, like...
And it's like, even something like Final Fantasy 13 didn't bother me as much because, yes, they pulled the sin of, like...
We're making things up, like Falci and...
Well, they explain stuff, but also it's one of those things where it's like they did on occasion bring up something that they didn't really adequately explain before, but then they explain it later, you know, that sort of thing. Like, they did do that, but at least they fucking gave it to you in, like, bite-sized chunks. They didn't, like, explain the whole fucking thing in, like, a 20-minute long cutscene in the beginning and then expect you to remember every single thing from that cutscene.
You're a Falci. You're going to become a crystal if you don't do this thing.
Yeah. There you go.
I did it.
I did the thing. Oh, well, I guess you're not a crystal. Oh, wait, you are a crystal because you completed the task.
You did it. Good job.
Way to go, rock boy.
Yep. You rock. Haha.
And it's also one of the things where, like, Final Fantasy XI, all the character dialogue, like, when you were doing a quest and stuff like that, was in line with, basically, like, your text that you got, like, everything. If someone was shouting in the background while someone, like, a dude was trying to talk to you, you're just, like, fucked. But it's like, this, they actually have, like, text bubble, or text boxes, I guess. They're not bubbles, because bubbles would be way too small for all the shit that they say. But it's just like, yeah. So that I think is, like, it's kind of nice, but also kind of overwhelming at first. I think that a world, especially in an MMO, should be, like, experienced organically and not, like, forced. Like, read this operation manual so you know every little thing about this world, and then, like...
Is part of the problem, James, that you're trying to manage your time? Do you think that if you had an unlimited amount of time, you wouldn't care as much?
I guess maybe. Like, if I had the time to sit there and read, like, 15 minutes of dialogue for a side quest, then maybe, yeah. But then again, I'd probably also be like, I'd rather be doing the side quest, or, like, I don't know, maybe you didn't have to have so much to say about this side quest, you know? I mean, and it's not really, like, a horrible thing, because they're, you know, it's a fantasy game, and they're trying to, you know, it's a text-based fucking fantasy game, so they're trying to get everything out. So, it's one of those things where, but, coming from a person who's played a lot of text-based fantasy games, this one exceptionally has a lot to say.
Fair enough.
All in a short amount of time, which is, like, One thing I was really sorry, didn't mean to like.
No, go ahead. I didn't say anything yet. So
it was also related to the text-based thing. Is they actually have fucking voice actors, like
good.
They actually have like voiced cutscenes and shit. And I was like, "What the fuck is this?" After playing a shit ton of Final Fantasy XI and never hearing a fucking word, and then all of a sudden it's like, "This person can talk! Holy shit!"
Yeah.
Welcome to, you know, after 2000.
They're just not talking in the cutscenes, guys.
Yeah, no,
wait, not just talking in the cutscenes.
Well, to be fair, if they said all the dialogue that they said that they had in the text box, every cutscene would be like 20 minutes long and stuff.
Yeah, fair enough.
But I think it's a lot more fast-paced. I actually not super far into it. I actually just beat my first, like, instance in the main story quest, which was awesome. It was actually, like, a single player, or, like, because I was with another person, but it actually forced me to disband and fight, like, a solo instance with, like, a main boss and then, like, little bosses and working with an NPC and doing, like, it was actually fast-paced and actually, like, awesome.
So it's just teaching you the ropes and showing you how fun the game can be. They give you a taste of it early on.
Yeah.
So that the grind seems like you're actually building to something.
Yeah. Also, I mean, it's a Square game, so you kind of get this, but fucking gorgeous. Like,
yeah.
I mean, Final Fantasy XI had some, like, good atmospheres, but, yeah. This game is...
Yeah.
Yeah. This game has, like, some of the best fucking animation. Square really needs to just make good movies. Like, I say that because every movie they have made is not a good.
Apparently, the Final Fantasy XV movie was pretty good.
Oh, shit! I gotta watch that before the game comes out on PC.
Yeah, because you can actually watch that and not spoil anything for yourself.
Well, yeah, people are actually saying that you should probably watch it before playing the game. Like, it gives you some of that extra lore.
Mm-hmm. Remember what I was saying about the lore?
But hey, maybe if Final Fantasy XIV was like, hey, here you go, want to watch this 2-hour-long movie that explains all this shit? And then you can get into the thing without so many, like, long-winded fucking explanations?
Would you?
I would. Fucking, especially if it looked like that.
Fair enough.
It was a good movie.
Yeah.
But anyway, you were playing another game that you actually, like, fucking beat into the ground, apparently.
Yeah, so...
It didn't take that long to beat it, though.
No, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. So, A Hat in Time just came out recently. A few days ago, A Hat in Time came out, in fact. And I have since 100% completioned it.
Wow.
I love you. That was a bad joke.
Yeah.
It left me with a lot of feelings, which is good. It was super...
They were good feelings, right?
Really good feelings. It was a super charming game, at times, like, overly corny, and it was really touching.
And perfect.
And then other times, it's like, wow, not for babies.
Also, really fucking cool boss battle.
Yeah.
That one, anyway. I don't
know
what the other ones.
No, there's more.
Really?
Yeah.
Better?
I will say I really genuinely loved all but one of the boss battles.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Well, no spoilers, but...
What was wrong with the one?
I almost want to show James before he leaves here.
Do you plan on playing it at all, James?
I don't know, probably.
Okay, then don't show him.
Okay. Fair enough. But yeah, the... There's a couple of worlds in the game, several worlds, in fact, in the game, that kind of do the Mario Galaxy style, lead you through a mission objective, and you have to complete certain parameters in the world that time, in that chapter, in order to get the collectible at the end. And that's a good formula, except they add humor everywhere, and references to other games. This is what Yooka-Laylee should have been, to be frank, because it didn't over-collectathon the game, it just hid things. And gave really cool secrets. And it actually has these little remix areas where every now and again you'll find a time rift in a level you've already been to, and you have to go find the portal in that world you've already been to that takes you to a new level entirely.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. So, that's really fun.
So, what sort of games was it referencing? Was it just like classic platformers?
Just all of them.
Every game in the entire
world.
It
even had a Homestar reference.
Really?
So, yeah.
That's cool. I like it when games can be humorous and fucking meta and just like...
And it didn't seem forced?
No. In fact, I just randomly decided to try to talk to one of these mafia members in the first area of the game. And then the girl and he start playing patty cake with each other. I'm like, okay, that's not what I was expecting. And then at the end of patty cake, the guy just straight up punches you and sends you flying off the world. You take damage. And they just did that, because he's a mafia guy. He cheated.
He's a mafia. They refer to them as mafias.
Yeah, they call themselves mafia, too. And one of the guys I talked to was like, one day Seagull land on Mafia Burger. Mafia no appreciate that. Mafia threatened to punch Seagull for landing on Burger. Seagull says, I have baby. I Mafia punched two birds that day.
Yeah. I never read that!
It's a charming little fucking game, and it genuinely gets creepy as shit sometimes. And it's good. Like, it makes sense tonally. You are this little girl who has seen some shit. And, you know, there's this part, the boss fight that we're talking about that left such an impact on Emily. It's like,
so
well,
cool.
I'm gonna try to kill you now. And the little girl's like, okay, then I guess I'm gonna do my best to not die.
Oh, you can do.
I guess that makes sense.
Threatening to kill your shit.
Yeah.
But it's like, no one up to that point had overtly threatened to kill you.
And it was really like...
And then after that, it starts getting darker and darker.
I'm really pissed that it took us... There's a really obvious cue if you're paying the fucking attention.
Oh, yeah.
For that same fight. And it took us so long, we're like, I don't know which side he's gonna do!
And we
both
saw to
either
the same
side.
Time.
Sorry, I'm spoiling
Don't
it,
spoil that for James.
I already did.
Why would you do that?
Because it's really obvious if you're not being an idiot.
I mean, in our defense, we thought it was a tell that he was going to do the certain type of attack, rather than what side he was going to approach it from. Until we noticed that he was winking with a different eye once, and we're like, oh, we know. Because we both realized it at the same time.
Mm.
Yeah. Also, I will say that the boss fights definitely scale with difficulty. Like, people are complaining about Cuphead a lot recently, and I was kind of annoyed because I'm like, these don't look that hard. They look like you're expected to die a couple times and learn the patterns.
Yeah.
Like a game.
It's like, yeah, like, yeah.
Are people really not used to having to try things more than once?
think so, actually, yeah.
Because I died to that boss. The first time I died to that boss, I got excited. Because it beat me. And I was trying.
Yeah. Well, that also comes because... Well, that's also because of the sort of era of gaming we came from.
What? That's the thing. Like, some of the people that are complaining about Cuphead are like, I used to play real video games. It's like, why are you complaining?
They also probably really sucked at the real video games.
Apparently.
Like, I never beat Mario Brothers because it got too hard.
It's like, those games weren't... I mean, we talked about this a couple podcasts ago, but those games weren't hard because, you know, they were trying to be hard. They were hard because they were trying to expand how long you played them. So when you see a game that's truly hard, like your Dark Souls, you have these tells that you have to learn in games. Or Metal Slug, where every boss, every enemy has a tell that you can learn how they're going to behave, just based on watching them.
Mm-hmm. And maybe just don't be an idiot.
Yeah. Or Mercenary Kings, same thing. Or Cuphead, or Mega Man, or Mega Man X series, or Zero series. There's a lot of Mega Man games, let's just say that. But every single one of those games is an example of a boss that has a tell. And I was so... I was really happy, genuinely happy, that there was a boss I couldn't beat the first try. In fact, I died several times to that boss. And I got more pumped every time I died. Because I learned a little bit, and then I died, and I'm like, okay, he got me, but I know I could beat this because I know how to avoid that. I was just being an idiot and panicking because that's a lot of lasers.
I also do like that, is when a boss feels difficult, but and sometimes almost seems like it's impossible, but you also can identify, you know, a pattern, and you're like, I know where I fucked up. I know what I need to do to be better. Like, actually, one experience I had with that fairly recently was out because I've been playing the remaster of Final Fantasy X,
mm-hmm.
and that fucking chocobo race thing.
Oh yeah,
where you're collecting balloons and dodging fucking birds, and in order to get fucking that piece for Tidus's ultimate weapon, you need to get a score of 0, which is fucking difficult.
Yeah,
but every time I failed, I'm like, okay, I know how I fucked up, and then, you know, you go back in, and there was some luck to it, because like, shit. But also at the same time, there is a pattern and there is a way that you can beat it, and you just have to get better at it.
See, and that's what I like about those quote-unquote old-school style bosses, is they have set patterns, you just have to learn what tell they have for the pattern. So it's not really luck-based, but sometimes they can have some really annoying chains of specific attacks.
Yeah, like if they do one attack after another, it's like you're probably going to get fucked. But usually it's pretty avoidable. Kind of reminds me of, like, the Sephiroth fight in Kingdom Hearts.
Jesus Christ!
Where it was difficult as all shit, but pretty much all of his attacks had a tell.
Yeah.
And you knew what he was going to do, and you knew what you needed to do to avoid it. But
you watched me play that shit a lot, didn't you?
Well, yeah, I also played it.
Oh, no, I meant Kingdom Hearts 2, sorry.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that fucking thing.
Did you play through Kingdom Hearts 2 all the way?
Not all the way, I don't think.
Oh. Shit, we have various copies of it.
Didn't you find him also in the first one?
Yes.
Okay.
In the Colosseum, in the first one. In the second one, he's an optional boss, and that's not even in the Colosseum.
Yeah. He's just like, oh.
Okay. In the Japanese version, you could fight two of him at once.
Oh my god. Fucking masochists.
Yeah. Why? He has instant death hits.
Because we are the children of an angry god.
Like, he literally can kill you in one hit if you don't perfectly parry him.
And now you have to perfectly parry him twice.
Yeah. There's a cooldown on that parry. You could get unlucky.
But yeah, no, I do appreciate that. I there have been times where genuinely I'm playing a game or fighting a boss or something like that, and it is actually just legitimately unfair. And, like, they tried way too hard to make it fucking hard. But it's like, I like it when they hit that sweet spot of pounding your ass into the ground, but you know you can get up and be better.
I realized I didn't actually describe a Hat in Time at all. So it's a Banjo-Kazooie-style collect-a-thon game, but done really well. It fixes a lot of the problems that modern games that are made like that ukulele had. It makes the collecting fun. The reason it's called a Hat in Time is you have various hats that you can craft out of yarn that you find in the levels.
And because you're traveling through time.
And because you're traveling through time, yeah. But you craft these hats that all have special abilities. And I'm not going to spoil what any of the hats do for anyone who plays, but you can go watch a guy called Tom Fox play it. He does a pretty good job showing off.
Doesn't spoil too much of the game for you.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
You know that part about silence the phone at the very beginning?
It's the end now.
I love you. but she's right, it is the end of our show. I can't recommend Hat in Time enough. If I had to give it a numerical rating, I wouldn't, because fuck you, I just really recommend the game. It's not perfect. There were some times I was really, really annoyed with it.
8 out of 10?
Probably, if I had to, yeah.
But also fuck you?
But also fuck you.
It is really cute, and I can't wait to sink my teeth into it.
It has the most personality in a video game I've seen in a very, very long time, and I dare say it's actually one of the best platformers I've played in years. So.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh, did you tell them last week that we ordered Odyssey?
Yeah, they know. Oh, okay. Unless you're new to the show, you know that really? We also pre-ordered Mario Odyssey.
I'm getting excited for it.
Yeah, me too.
I need to, get through the story of Zelda, so I don't have to...
Believe it or not, playing A Hat in Time got me even more stoked for Mario Odyssey.
Really?
Yeah.
Hats!
Yeah!
Maybe we just need to get you more hats. Weren't you just talking about that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway, guys.
Thanks for listening.
Make sure to tune in next week. Thank you for the sudden influx of listeners who are actually clearly downloading on a pod feed. That really helps us know that you're out there. Thank you so much, and if you're using iTunes, I'm sorry, but keep doing it.
just hang in there. Hang in there, buddies.
It's gonna get better.
No, it won't.
Pretty soon we're gonna have a major announcement for all of our listeners, and we're kind of looking forward to it, but yeah. It's gonna take a little bit to set up yet.
Also, really quick before we go, I just remembered something about, iPhones. And the new Google Pixel.
Oh my.
James, have you heard of this bullshit? So in their first, I'm sorry to sidetrack from leaving, but it's like when you stick around and people are like standing in the doorway, you know? But anyway, So the first Google Pixel, they advertised that the 3.5mm jack was surprisingly not so new. Because their phone had it, because the that iteration of iPhone, that same generation, didn't have it. James, guess what the new Google Pixel doesn't have? A fucking headphone jack. You know what it does have? The same proprietary Bluetooth speaker and transmitter for your headphones.
That sounds surprisingly anti-consumer of them.
Did they not hear, and I've asked everybody this, did they not hear the collective wail when they removed the headphone jack? What's the point? It's not saving that much more space. Yes, everything's a square. Great.
It's as if millions of nerds screamed out on Twitter all at once.
It just makes me very angry. Who the fuck's job was that?
But my two cents on that real quick, because I know that we're kind of leaving, is that they probably saw that, and then they also saw the fact that people fucking bought it anyway, and then they actually bought their fucking AirPods. My boss actually has those AirPods.
My boss does too, and
I'm sorry your boss is...
She works and drives with them in, is what bothers me.
That's illegal.
Yeah, I fucking know. And she and my other coworker were like, no, it's fine. You can still hear out of them. I'm like, fuck you guys. That's wrong.
That's actually illegal.
Wait, like both of them?
Yeah.
You have to have one ear.
Yeah, you have to have one ear open.
Yeah. Well, and she has them in all the time because don't drive with earphones in. And I can tell you have your AirPods in because you're listening to music right now.
So the funny thing about that is, so even though people still bought the newest generation of iPhone and they're, still dealing with it and the cries have kind of died down. But the problem is that the Pixel is not only one of many Android devices that people could easily switch to on a whim, but it's also one of the most expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So they're on thin ice as it is, so I'm pretty sure
that's the thing. Their high-end market just doesn't give a shit. They're like, new toys! Who would not AirPods?
You guys remember Google Glass, right? Right, guys?
What's that?
Guys? What's guys? That?
That's the thing. Google's high-end market is even more elitist than Apple. Like, they just... everything super expensive, but it's also super... Like, it's this little, secret club.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this is my Google Pixel.
They're only going to make three of these. Because it's going to sell so poorly.
Look, this is the tier on this developer, or from the developer. I had it, I put my screen protector over it so it'll be immortalized. Well, how much do you get water underneath that?
A screen protector?
Yeah.
It doesn't stick. There's
adhesive. Okay. But, like, would it create a little water pocket on the inside?
Yes. Yeah, and cool. it'd smush out, and it'd eventually make the whole screen protector fall off. It would then dry out first. And then you have an air bubble.
But what if it molded?
Then you'd have mold in your phone?
Yeah, then you'd have, like, mold between your screen protector and your...
If you let water just sit on your screen for long enough, if it didn't evaporate, would it go through? Like, is there anything...
Do you know how much shit is on your phone? Also, no.
A lot.
It wouldn't.
A lot.
It would evaporate before it would go through.
A lot.
No.
No, how much shit's on my phone?
I mean, I got that.
A lot.
Yeah.
We should let these poor people go.
So, like that bad guest that doesn't know when it's time to leave, we are gonna keep talking for exactly too long. Okay, guys, bye!